Hello, friends and creatives. Welcome back to another episode of Talent Talks, where we get real about building a business that's both creative and sustainable. This episode is called Strategic Pivoting: How to Change Your Business Model Without Blowing It Up. Today we're talking about something that I think every creative hits eventually. What if it's not working the way that I want to? What if I'm never going to hit my financial goal? What should I change? Should I change everything? Is it time to pivot? Should I change all my offerings? Should I change just one? We've all been there. Because here's the truth, business models aren't set in stone, although we sometimes think they are. And the real skill is knowing how to pivot without undoing everything that you've already built. In our last episode, we talked about how calculated risk can help you make smart moves that increase capacity, offerings, or service that your business provides. And this episode will piggyback off of that because we'll be talking about strategic pivoting. Specifically, how to test new ideas without risking your whole business, how to collect real feedback before investing too much, and how to know when it's time to pull the trigger or kill an idea. We're talking small bets, low stakes. So first off, let's talk about why pivoting is hard. It freaks me out. I don't know about you guys, but it kind of freaks me out. Most of us think that pivoting are these huge dramatic moves, and that's what I thought for a really long time. I thought it was like the movies where I would just quit everything and start some random thing in my garage and launch something new and it would become a unicorn startup overnight. I would magically rebrand all of my material in one night, including my website. Or I'd invest thousands of dollars before validating a demand and see that it magically worked out. Plot twist, and I hate to break it to you, but that's not a pivot, that's a Hail Mary. And I learned very quickly, it's both emotionally and financially expensive. What I actually learned was that the long-lasting entrepreneurs, ones that have been doing this for decades, treat pivoting like an experiment. They test, then collect data, they make adjustments, and repeat as often as needed. They use something called small bets framework. Taking small bets, testing those, gaining feedback, and then deciding to scale or kill that idea. This isn't just a theory I made up off the top of my head. It's from some of the best business books out there, including Eric Ries from The Lean Startup, where he talks about building a minimum viable product, an MVP, and creating the smallest version of your offering that still delivers value and something that you can test and gain feedback on. Tony Fadell in Build talks about testing tiny features, collecting real user feedback, and avoiding sunk cost traps. Paul Jarvis in Company of One argues that growth doesn't mean scaling to the moon. Sometimes the smartest move is refining your existing offering to serve people better. All of their frameworks have one thing in common. They make reversible, low-cost experiments instead of betting it all on this one Hail Mary. So let's talk about some more tangible examples from my own trial and error pivot processes. Example one is when I was a freelancer and I was testing out retainers. So when I moved from hourly work to retainers, I didn't just announce it to all of my clients overnight. I offered one client a trial retainer with clear scope and clear pricing. It was low stakes if I flopped. It was immediate feedback, and I was able to refine what I offered and then try it out with other clients. Within 6 months, 80% of my income was from stable retainers instead of hourly, which was great for me because as I learned more, I was able to do my job more efficiently and better in less amount of time. And I also just didn't want to get ostracized for doing a better job and getting paid less for it. So retainers just kind of made sense at that point. My second example is from a friend of mine who owns an Etsy store. She was just really smart when she tested her new products, and she did not launch 50 new products at once or launch 200 products at once like I did one time. Instead, she listed 3 variations of 5 of her products. And when I say variations, I mean like a different promo video, a different tile that you look at for the original product and ad. She also ran $20 worth of targeted ads and over the span of a month watched which ones sold the fastest and which ones got ignored. After that, she doubled down on the winners, and she had no wasted inventory because she did primarily digital downloads, and she also didn't have any panic sales. My last small business, quote-unquote small business, example is a health and wellness coach, and she wanted to add group coaching to the things that she offered. And instead of building a 12-week curriculum immediately, she ran a promotion where she had a single 90-minute workshop, and I think it was either free or highly discounted, but she asked the participants to all give her feedback at the end of this. And through that, she was able to validate demand before investing time or money in these huge, expensive cost platforms. Now let's talk about a big business that did this very efficiently. They're called Dropbox. I'm pretty sure you've heard of them. They're a well-known file and photo sharing platform. And they didn't build their entire infrastructure before launching. They actually made a 2-minute explainer video before they did any of that. They validated demand by seeing the number of signups, and then they used that demand to raise funding and justify development costs. They made small bets, tested, got feedback, and then scaled from there. So let's talk about how to design your own small bets, whether you're a B2B, B2C, product, service, or another type of structure that I did not mention, this framework will work for you and you can apply it to whatever business or service type organization that you've created. Little side note for me, I need to write in order to think out any ideas. I've got to see it on paper. I've got to write it down. Copywriter problems, I know. So I would recommend jotting these things down on a pen and paper or just trying to think it out in the most efficient way for you. Number 1 is define your hypothesis. What are you actually testing? Ask yourself if clients will pay for this new service, will your audience actually want this template, and will people show up for this workshop? I know these are some kind of loaded questions, and when I first started out, and even now still, I'm a bit sensitive, so I kind of have to detach from my own personal emotions of like, oh, do people actually find what I'm creating valuable? And I've got to detach from that and really ask myself logically, like, is this something that I would use? Is this something that I would find value in and actually spend money on? And know that that is no projection of you personally. I know your business is probably like your baby, as mine is to me. But ask yourself honestly if someone would pay for that pivot, pay for that service, that offering, whatever you're doing. And the more honest you are with yourself at this point, the better it is for you, because the more time you'll save on something that might not bear fruit. Number 2. Design the smallest test possible with the least amount of money that delivers real value. For example, a 1-hour consult before you design an entire course pack, or a single digital download before you build out a 200 template pack for hundreds of dollars, or a week of a trial retainer with a clear scope. Number 3, get real feedback. See if anyone bought your new product or service. If they did, what did they say? And what did you observe about their behavior? As Tony Fadell said in Build, people lie in interviews. They don't lie with their wallets. Number 4, decide to scale or kill the idea completely. If it worked, great, double down. If it didn't, cut your losses, iterate, and move on. Remember, the goal is reversible, affordable risk. You're buying clarity cheaply instead of paying for big, messy mistakes, like I did. Let's talk about some very kind of like quick personal pivot stories. When I wanted to add brand strategy packages, I started with a single consult session. I didn't build out tons of packs. When I considered selling digital branding templates online, I launched one for free and watched how people used it. When I shifted my own business model to offer more teachings and resources, I started with these podcast episodes. Literally testing demand for ideas one week at a time. Every pivot in my business, actually no, not every pivot, but I've tried to make pivoting small, intentional, and tested over the years that I've had my business. And when I first started, I always thought it was like, okay, I'm gonna make this one Hail Mary change and then everything's gonna change and I'll start making tons of money. I hate to burst your bubble, but it probably just won't work like that. Yes, there are unicorn startups that recognize that niche within a niche and then get AAA funding within the first year of existence. But realistically, that's not everyone, and it's a lot easier to pivot and scale and make small changes over time, and evidently a lot more sustainable too. So I found that big pivots aren't because I'm scared or, you know, afraid of risk. It's because I respect the idea of risk and I've realized when to double down and when to cut my losses and what that looks like within my own environment and within my business. So, if you're in a season where you're wondering, should I change what I'm offering? Should I pivot? Should I launch something new? Should I burn it all to the ground? Here's your reminder. Okay, don't burn it all to the ground. And don't burn down what's working. Don't bet everything on a non-data-backed feeling that you just know. And don't mistake big moves for brave ones. Again, real courage is accepting that failure is part of learning. So do what you gotta do, get yourself that cookie, have a little cry if you need to, and then pick yourself back up because the potential good idea won't run its own iterations. As Paul Jarvis said in Company of One, better isn't always bigger, it's more sustainable. You can grow your business without losing your mind or your rent money. Remember, small bets with low stakes are much more sustainable and easier to achieve than that one big break where you win it all. As always, this episode is sponsored by KO Creative Agency. And if you want help walking through your next pivot, I've created a free mini guide, How to Test a New Offer Before Going All In. It's a step-by-step workbook that you can find on Etsy.com, or you can grab our freebie version at KOCreativeAgency.com under the Tools for Creatives tab, or download the entire step-by-step guide off of our KO Creative Agency Etsy store. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time on Talent Talks.